This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
لا إله إلا الله.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ali Ghati Adim Sifati Sami Simati Kabir Shan Jalil al Qadir Rafi'i Dhikri Muta'i al Amri Jalil al Burhan Fakhim al Ismi Ghazil al Ilmi Wasil Hilmi Kathil al Ghufran Jamil al Thana'i Jazil al Ata'i Mijib al Du'a'i Amim al Ihsan Sari al Hisabi Shadid al Iqabi Alim al Adabi Aziz al Sultan Wa Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم At the time of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم there's a really fascinating and remarkable story. And I felt that it would be appropriate for us to start our discussion here today. One of the great and illustrious companions of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who has his own very remarkable story and journey. He was born into abject poverty, and it was him and his mother fending for themselves, living on the outskirts of Mecca, barely surviving off of scraps. And while they were there, and he had been able to find a little bit of work tending to someone's animals, and he would work all day long, and then the reward at the end of it would be maybe some milk from one of the animals, and he would take that home to his mother, and that's how they lived, that's how they survived. And they lived out there in some tattered tent outside of the boundary of the city of Mecca. And one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were walking, and they were walking around the outskirts of Mecca. What even led them to walk around the outskirts of Mecca? This is all the part of Allah's divine plan. And so as they were walking along the outskirts of Mecca, they passed by a few animals there, and they see this young man tending to these animals. And he looks, you know, as he, you can see the struggle on him. Maybe he didn't have proper shoes on. They see his clothing. They see the hunger on his face. And so the Prophet ﷺ goes to him and says that, you know, asks him, what's his name? How are you doing? Sits down with him. And then he says, can I milk one of these animals and we can share the milk? And the young man says, he doesn't know who the Prophet ﷺ is. The young man says that these animals don't belong to me. I can't let you just milk one of the animals. It's not mine to let you do that. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's a very good point. And then he says, well, what about one of the animals that does not have any milk, that has not carried yet, and therefore it has not naturally produced milk? What if I am able to extract milk from one of those animals? And so he looks at him with a puzzled look, and he says, well, I mean, I don't know how that's possible, but if you could, then I guess, because that wouldn't belong to the owner. So then he narrates what he witnessed, that the Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu for some kind of a container. He found a rock that was kind of shaped a little bit like a bowl that could hold something, and he cleans it, and he gives it to the Prophet ﷺ. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the Prophet ﷺ said, Bismillah. And then when he touched the underside of the animal, he saw the udders of the animal swelling up. Miraculously, milk was being produced in that moment. And then the Prophet ﷺ milked the animal, and then he sat down the young man, and he said, here, have some. And he served him some milk. And then they drank the milk, and then the young man obviously curiously asked him, what did I just experience? What did I just witness? And that's when the Prophet ﷺ told him about Allah and told him about Islam. And the young man became Muslim. And then from that point on forward, his entire trajectory was changed. He might have started off as just somebody who, you know, was insignificant in the grander scheme, a poor young man on the outskirts of town. But where did he end up? Where did he end up? He ended up in the place where the Prophet ﷺ said, if you ever hear Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying anything, know that it came from me. The Prophet ﷺ gave him the blank check. He ended up in the place where the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, if one leg, one limb of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the amount of good, the amount of khayr, the amount of iman, the amount of faith that this man has, that if his one leg is weighed against all seven heavens and seven earths, against the entire universe, he will outweigh the entire universe because of the goodness that is within him. So he had his own remarkable trajectory that is worthy of reflection as we are sitting here today. But I wanted to share a particular moment from his old age. That there was a time when in Kufa, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that's where he was towards the end of his life, and he's walking around the streets of Kufa, much like decades ago the Prophet ﷺ was walking around the outer streets of Mecca. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud is walking around the streets of Kufa, And he comes upon this gathering, and it's a gathering of young men, and they're drinking, and they're singing, and they're partying. And it's essentially a kind of a party that's going on that we just saw a couple of days ago here, everyone engaging in this society. So they're just sitting and they're partying, and there's drink and there's song and there's all those kinds of things. And as they're sitting there and they're partying, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks up. And obviously this is bad, this is evil, this is wrong. And so he wants to stop this, and then probably a little bit of where he is in his age kind of factors into it, how he goes about it. He walks up to the gathering and he reprimands them. He says, ittaqillah, ittaqullah, fear Allah. You're drinking and you're partying and you're doing all of this is not appropriate. And he basically ends the gathering. One of the narrations even mentions that he, you know, destroys some of the drink and the instrument that they're using to party. And when he ends the gathering, there's a young man in the gathering who narrates this entire incident himself. He says that, كُنْتُ غُلَامًا حَسَنَ الصَّوْتِ. I was the young man in the group who had a really nice, beautiful voice. And so when we would get together and we would drink and party, I would do all the singing. And so when Abdullah bin Mas'ud approached us and he heard all of this, and he ended the gathering, as he was leaving and he told us to fear Allah and don't do this, why are you doing this? It's not good for you. As he was leaving, he said to me, he turned to me and he said, لَوْ كَانَ مَا يُسْمَعُ مِنْ حُسْنِ صَوْتِكَ يَا غُلَامُ بِالْقُرْآنِ كُنْتَ أَنْتَ أَنْتَ. He said that if this beautiful voice that you sing with, that everyone listens to so attentively, if you were to channel this to the Book of Allah, to the Qur'an, use it for a righteous purpose, then you could be somebody truly remarkable and great. You could have a remarkable impact. You could change the trajectory of your life. He speaks from experience. And so he says this to him, ثُمَّ مَضَى. And then Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu went on his way. The young man says, فَقُلْتُ لِأَصْحَابِي. I turned to the guys that were sitting with me, and I said, مَنْ هَذَا? Who is the old man? I didn't know who he was. Who's the old man? And they said, هَذَا ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the great illustrious companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Mas'ud. So he says, when I had heard his name, but I had never like connected the name in the face. When I learned that that was him, I was so struck by that. Wow. Right? That I just had an interaction with somebody so great. And the words he said to me really resonated and pierced my soul. So he said, فَأُلْقِيَ فِي نَفْسِي التَّوْبَةِ. In that moment, just the desire and the inclination and the conviction to change the trajectory of my life struck me. It like hit me. You know, we describe something getting hit with like a ton of bricks. It just really punched me in the gut. فَسَعَيْتُ أَبْكِي. And he said, I couldn't control myself and I just started to cry. And I ran after him crying, tears streaming down my face. I ran after him. وَأَخَدْتُ بِثَوْبِهِ. And when I caught up to him, I grabbed his clothes, just like almost like a move of desperation. You know, when somebody is crying uncontrollably and they don't know what to do, they just grasp at something. And he said, I just grasped his clothes, I just grabbed his shirt in a desperate, pleading kind of way. فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَيَّ. He turned around and he faced me. فَعَتَنَقَنِي. And he hugged me. He saw me crying and he hugged me. وَبَكَى. And then he started to cry. And he said to me, مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ. Welcome, welcome to the servant of God who is beloved to Allah. I welcome the one whom Allah loves. I welcome the one who is beloved to his Lord. Ijlis. Then he said, sit down. We got to his house, he said, sit here. And he went inside his house, wa akhraja li tamran, and he brought some dates out to me, and he said, here, eat something. You've been partying so hard, you probably haven't eaten properly. Eat something. And from that point on forward, this man, he went on to learn the religion from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from our mother Aisha Siddiqa, from Ali ibn Abi Talib, Salman al-Farisi, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, Abdullah ibn Umar, al-Barra ibn Azib. These are some of the major companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Just amongst those names that I mentioned there, we're talking about tens of thousands of narrations of the Prophet ﷺ. He was able to learn from all of them, be their student, and then become one of the great teachers of his generation. And his name is Zadan. Strange name even. Zadan. And today, you cannot read any of the major works of hadith, be it Bukhari or Muslim, without coming across the name Mu'an Zadan. And his name is scattered across the entire Islamic intellectual tradition. And this is his story. I felt it was beneficial and pertinent and relevant to start our discussion here today. Because as we're embarking on a new calendar year, a lot of those conversations, maybe we're having those conversations. Those conversations are definitely happening all around us in society where people are in that mindset of it's a new year. It's a fresh start. People have their resolutions. People are reflecting on how did the last year go. Even organizations, we're talking about, okay, 2024, let's give you a recap of what we did. It's on all of our minds that we can now reflect on where how we did this previous year, and then we can think about what we're going to do in the coming year. And while we think about so many other things, we think about our health, we think about our finances, we think about our relationships, we think about our businesses, we think about all these different things, the most important consideration is to think about our spirituality. And yes, at the risk of being that guy, right, for a believer, we revisit that every day. And we revisit that multiple times a day. Every time we put our face on the ground, we revisit that. But there is something about the fact that we are in that kind. We live in a society. We live in a culture. We don't live in a vacuum or isolated. And so, yes, all around us, there's this conversation of reflection and then, you know, deliberation about the coming year. And so that's on our minds as well. And the very important consideration that we have here as we're sitting here today, starting off the new year, is where was I spiritually? Where was I in my relationship with Allah? Where was I in my spirituality, in my devotion, my dedication to Allah, my connection to the deen? Where was I this previous year? And what do I need to work on going forward? What is my potential in the coming year? What was my trajectory? But that does not limit, that does not cap what my trajectory can be going forward. And we have to embrace that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this with us in the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, Surah number 39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and Allah talks us through this entire discussion. Look how profound and insightful this is, and we'll just walk through these verses. And you don't need a lot of commentary from me. The verses will take us through the entirety of this issue and help us understand and develop a framework. In ayah number 53, Allah says, قُلْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ O my servants who have wronged themselves, who have sullied their souls, who have damaged themselves by committing sins, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Allah can and will forgive all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ And indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ
Turn to Allah internally with your heart. We say it all the time with our tongues, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. But Allah is saying, turn to your Lord from your heart, internally. Enough of the lip service. We say all the right things, but we really need to internally think and reflect. Wa aslimu lahu, and submit to Allah, surrender to Allah. Can I just surrender myself to my Lord for a moment? Can I get out of my own head for a moment? And I hear the words, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My app notifies me that it's time for salah. Let me just drop everything for once. Let me not negotiate today. Let me not engage in the whole kind of back and forth, internal. Let me just submit. My Lord has called on me to pray. I'm just going to put my face on the ground in front of Allah. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And submit to yourself to your Lord. Submit yourself to your Lord before the punishment comes to you. This is the bitter pill, but it's a part of our reality. Before the punishment comes to you, and then there will be no one to help you. وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِن رَبِّكُمْ. And follow this beautiful guidance that Allah has sent you. This Quran is your salvation. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً. Before the punishment comes to you all of a sudden. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And then you don't even realize what's happening in that moment. أَنْ تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةَ عَلَى مَا فَرَّتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ. And the Quran tells us that this is a universal truth. That when that moment comes, if we have not prepared, if we have not invested into our relationship with Allah, every soul will cry in that moment that I wish I would have made more of the opportunity that my Lord gave me. Every single soul that did not invest into that relationship with Allah will lament itself. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ. That rather I made fun of. I mocked and ridiculed people who invested into Allah, who focused on their relationship with Allah, who prioritized their deen. I mocked them. I called them small-minded. I called them simpletons. And they'll regret it in that moment. أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Or even worse, for that person to blame Allah. Oh, well, if Allah would have guided me, then I would have been a good person. So it's God's fault, but never my fault. Can you imagine that? For someone to be so deluded that even on the day of judgment, even in the hereafter, they still refuse to accept responsibility. أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Or that soul will say, when it sees the punishment of Allah, that if I had one more chance, then I would have been a good person. بَلَى. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you delude yourself. You still are not taking responsibility. قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي. My signs came to you. Here's the good news. Somebody might say, this is very heavy. But here's the good news. My signs came to you. We're sitting here right now, alive, breathing, reading, listening. My signs came to you. The Quran came to you. فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا. But you decided to reject it. وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ. You thought you were too good for it. You thought you were above it. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you rejected it. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةٌ. And on the day of judgment, you'll see those people who denied Allah, that they will have no light. They will be ruined and humiliated. May Allah protect us. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. And Allah says that the place of these people who were arrogant in dealing with Allah, their home, their abode, is the fire of hell. وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَازَتِهِمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will grant salvation. Allah will rescue. Allah will save. Allah will spare. Those people who lived a life of God consciousness. Again, not perfection, because none of us are perfect. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى. We all make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. But God consciousness is that when I make the mistake, I'm able to recover from it. I'm able to reflect. I'm able to repent. I understand what I did wrong. And I can work on that. And Allah says that Allah will save them and take them to a place of safety, of refuge, of success. لا يمسهم السوء. No harm will come to them. وَلَكُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They will never grieve. They will never suffer a moment of sadness. Happiness, tranquility, serenity, bliss for all of eternity. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Because Allah is our creator. Allah created everything. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. And Allah watches over everything. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What do we worry about? What stands in the way of us reconciling with Allah? There's no downside. There's no downside to me repairing my relationship with Allah. Then why don't I do it? Well, because what happens is a lot of times, maybe it's a worldly motivation. We're worried about, you know, something connected to the dunya. Worldly means, money, power, influence, position, social status. Those are the things that cause us to compromise on something that is so apparent. Well, Allah says, لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who controls and owns everything in the heavens and the earth? Allah does. So think about it. It's actually foolish on my part. I'm compromising on my relationship with Allah because I'm invested into this other agenda. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls all of that. So how am I achieving something by defying Allah? It's counterintuitive. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And those who turn their back on Allah, then those are the people who truly end up losing out. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walks us through this entire spiritual equation, the spiritual journey of the human being. And I'll wrap up and conclude here. There's a beautiful hadith Qudsi in Sahih Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that what do I do with this now? If this perspective is helpful, what do I do with it? Allah says, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ ذَنْبًا. The servant of God, the human being, makes a mistake. Makes the wrong decision, invests into the wrong thing. فَقَلَ أَهُمُ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. He says, oh Allah, forgive me. فَقَلَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah says, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا. My servant has made a mistake. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. But he then recognizes that he has a Lord who can forgive the sin, but who can also punish for that sin. ثُمَّ عَادَ فَأَذْنَبَ. So Allah forgives the person, but then the person makes another mistake. فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. Again he says, my Lord, please forgive me. So Allah again says, عَبْدِي أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا. My servant has again made a mistake. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. But he recognizes that his Lord, he has a Lord who can forgive him or hold him accountable. And so Allah forgives him again. ثُمَّ عَادَ فَأَذْنَبَ. Then the person messes up again. Not deliberately, not defiantly, but messes up. He's human. فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. He says, my Lord, forgive me, please. فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And again Allah Almighty says, عَبْدِي أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا. My servant made a mistake again. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. But he recognizes that he has a Lord that can forgive him or punish him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. As long as this is how you live your life, that you will fall, but you will get up every single time, you will always work to fix things, you will recognize when you are at fault, you will strive to correct what you've done wrong. As long as you will live this way, keep on living, and I will always forgive you. And we conclude with that. That's our job. That's what we have to do with this. Put aside the delusion. Put aside the arrogance. Put aside the defiance. Put all of that aside and have a sincere, honest moment between you and Allah and assess how the previous year went, how our lives have gone up to this point and what we've done wrong. And own it and say, Ya Rab, I messed up. I am at fault. It's my fault, nobody else's. Forgive me. And strive to do better. And we're not going to get it right the first time. We're not even going to get it completely right the 10th time or the 100th time. But as long as we live with that mindset, that's our resolution going forward. That's our perspective going forward. Then our trajectory will be completely changed. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. On this day of Friday we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief and victory and dignity to Muslims all over the world wherever they are suffering, our brothers and sisters in Gaza and beyond. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.